Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy your tickets right now at nusports.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
The Panthers officially released Cam Newton. Who will sign first, Newton or Jameis Winston? And if no market develops for Newton, would you try signing him to a one-year deal for as little as possible if you're the Bears? And may the best quarterback win? And should the Bears have waited?
First of all, I think that Jameis Winston will sign first. I think that when you see how he can still rehabilitate his career, I think he can still make something of himself. He's a prolific passer. He just needs to eliminate the mistake. I think in the right system, with the right tutelage, he can be still a difference maker in the league. I thought it was interesting that Bruce Arians, even though Bruce Arians got his guy and decided to move on from Jameis Winston and he got Tom Brady, spoke to a couple teams, according to the Tampa Bay Times, on Winston's behalf because he believes that he has the capability of being an NFL quarterback that is worth keeping and worth signing. So I think he will go before Cam Newton because this is all I need to know about Cam Newton. I understand that he had a special physical conducted earlier this week and he was cleared and he is hungry and he wants to prove himself and that he wants to prove the Panthers wrong. And they made a mistake in letting him go because yesterday he received the official release, news that everybody knew was coming. But if he was ready to go, I think Ron Rivera in Washington would have taken a chance on him. Ron Rivera gave up a draft pick for Kyle Allen, knowing that Cam Newton was going to come pop loose a couple days later this week, and he wouldn't have to give up anything but money to sign Cam Newton. And still, they went for Kyle Allen because he is the safer choice, and Cam Newton has all sorts of injury issues that I think that if his former head coach stays away from him, that tells you everything you need to know about the certainty about what to expect from him. So I don't really think it's worth the Bears looking into this. I don't think they should have waited. I think Nick Foles makes a lot of sense for reasons that we have expressed over the past couple of days since they made the trade. And I think that he is a better option and a more certain option than Cam Newton, who I would stay away from even for a one-year prove-it deal.
I agree with you on Winston. David, I think the most interesting part of this offseason in the NFL from a quarterback standpoint is I cannot remember a time where there were more quarterbacks available than spots for them in the NFL. And the spots have kind of been filled around the league. So what we're talking about is potential backup opportunities or teams taking a flyer on some of these guys. When it comes to Winston, I think it's much easier to do that because he is in his mid-20s and he doesn't have to be the guy for you. He can go someplace and become a better football player behind the scenes. With Newton, here's what Ron Rivera knows and the rest of the NFL knows as well, that since 2016, he hasn't looked like the Cam Newton image that we have in our heads from the success that he's had during his NFL career. Two games last season, foot surgery. He's had two surgeries to his shoulder, and because of that, he hasn't looked the same since 2016. He's lost his last eight games as starter, and while he had his own personal physical, I don't know what the results are, because if you look at anything he posts on social media, you need a Rosetta Stone to figure out the hieroglyphics that he types with from a font standpoint. So it's extremely difficult. I do think, though, that there will be a team out there that you don't expect that might take a flyer on Newton. And a good team, a team maybe like San Francisco that he can go to. And I'm trying to think of styles of play that work, you know, where it's not necessarily about the money. It's about the opportunity to learn. They don't need you immediately, but if you are healthy and a starter of note gets banged up, you get an opportunity to play on a good team and help that team immediately. San Francisco comes to mind. Green Bay might come to mind. You know, one of those teams that we're not thinking of could be a potential landing spot for Cam Newton on a deal that is very team friendly.
How about them Cowboys?
I don't think that's the fit for him. But there's another team that you could look at. You know, with what if the contractual situation between, and right now he's on the franchise tag, but say Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, things get really ugly between those two. You protect yourself at the position. You know, maybe Jameis Winston is a guy that you take there. But, you know, Pittsburgh's another situation. The guy that we often hear compared to when it comes to a player of Winston's stature has been Ben Roethlisberger in terms of build, in terms of style of play, obviously without the interceptions. Maybe that's a place that makes sense for Jameis. And you know what? The more I start thinking about it, maybe Newton is a fit for Dallas.
I mean, this is a real loaded question here, as a lot of these questions tend to be. As far as Cam Newton, Zach, I'm with you. You know, he's not the same player he was 4 or 5 seasons ago when he was the league MVP and he was getting to the Super Bowl. And I think that even though he's only 30, you know, the wear and tear that he's taken, his style of play, even though he's a big, strong guy, similar to a running back and how their careers maybe aren't as long as other position players, I think Cam Newton, his prime was kind of cut short too because of all of the mileage and the tread on his tires and all of the hits that he was taking over the years. And you add that with the shoulder problem, like you said, the foot injury, which kept him out all last season. I expect Cam Newton to end up somewhere on a one-year deal, very incentive-laden, team-friendly, to try to, you know, prove that he can still play at a high caliber. If the Bears are financially able to do something like that, I think they have to explore the option at least. And, you know, you bring in as many guys as possible that you think maybe can help you out at the quarterback position because they were so dismal there last season. As far as Jameis Winston, I mean, this guy is not only an idiot, but he's a turnover machine. He's got character issues dating back to college. I expect him to sign somewhere, but it'll be as a backup. I don't expect him to get a starting job in the NFL for next season.
Well, unfortunately, Kevin, as we know, the NFL doesn't really care much about character issues. It's going to be Jameis Winston who is signed first, because there's going to be a coach that looks at, and a GM that looks at the 33 touchdowns and the 30 interceptions and say, I can work with that. Much like I'm sure Bruce Arians felt, I can do some work on this guy, this kid, and bring these interceptions down. There's going to be someone out there that's going to be willing to take the chance. He has the talent, but he has to be, you know, fine-tuned. And you would think at this point in his career, he would have gotten those interceptions down, but it's always been an issue for him. In terms of Cam Newton, trying to sign him for a one-year deal for as little as possible. Now, look, I understand the arrow is pointing down with his health, but I think if you're the Bears in the situation that you have, I think you do need as many options as possible, because there is nothing that is a sure thing. You look at Nick Foles' season last season, you know, and I know that was injury issues with him as well. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky isn't guaranteeing you anything, and I think you need to have as many options as possible at quarterback if you're the Bears. So I think if you can bring him in on a one-year deal for as little as possible, sure, do it. Should the Bears have waited? No, I don't think so. I guess the Bears reportedly, had some talks with Carolina and decided not to go with Cam. But in this situation, you might as well bring him in if he hasn't had any takers to this point.
Well, Ray, first of all, thanks for answering all parts of the question. The Bears' role in this is really interesting. I don't think they should have waited. You took the guy to play quarterback in Nick Foles because he knows the system. And yesterday, well, I guess it's going to be later today, but yesterday the word came out, the NFL facilities are shutting down. So whoever you bring in that doesn't know the system, you have to retrain them. And I know you can retrain people remotely, where a lot of people are working remotely. We're working remotely right now. But that's why that deal for Nick Foles makes all the sense in the world. Now, who do I think will start in the NFL first between these two guys? Cam Newton. But who's more signable? It's definitely Jameis Winston. The problem with Cam, until you know for sure, it seems like Cam Newton is a bad fit in most quarterback rooms, and everybody, especially here in Chicago, we love to hear the quarterback room got better today. Ooh, the quarterback room. I don't think Ron Rivera wants Cam Newton anywhere near his football team in Washington.
That's obvious, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. I don't think that was like, oh, he knew that they were going to eventually cut him. And wouldn't Carolina have loved a fourth round pick for Cam Newton?
So, oh my gosh, Dustin. And wouldn't Cam Newton been a perfect, in theory, a perfect mentor for a guy like Dwayne Haskins?
For sure.
To learn from a former MVP?
For sure. Now, because of Cam's cachet and because he can be Superman and he can be unbelievable at times when he's right, both mentally and physically, the place that seems to make the most sense because they need it would be the Chargers, right? The L.A. Chargers. The Rams are kind of going the other direction. The Chargers with the new logo and Cam as the face of the franchise, that would make a ton of sense to me.
Answer the question!
Mel Kiper's mock draft for ESPN projected 6 offensive tackles going in the first round, but no tight ends and only 1 safety. If you are Ryan Pace, do you hope that a tight end with a first-round grade falls to you? Do you still consider tight end and safety a need area for the Bears in the draft, and can Pace afford to draft the best player available?
I think, Kevin, that NFL teams draft the best player available at the position of need on the team. That's usually the way it works. I don't think a group that has been together as long as the Bears group has been, a group that could have jobs on the line at the end of this upcoming season, is in a place where they have the luxury to just take whoever they feel is the best player available, regardless of position. So I think when you look at the way a team operates in free agency, what it tells you is that they believe they can't get those positions filled via the draft. So the fact that the Bears went out and signed Jimmy Graham and Robert Quinn, made the trade for Nick Foles, tells you that they don't believe there's anyone in the draft that can help them better at those positions than the free agency moves that they made. So when I look at the second round of the draft, I think safety is one of those things. You have 2 picks in that first 50, 2 of them in the second round. I think you have to take advantage of that with the best players at the positions of need, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's getting a skilled position player, and this is a draft that is deep at the receiver position. You need to get somebody opposite Allen Robinson that puts a little fear into a defense. And as we saw last year, you can find those wide receivers in the second round. I don't think the plan, I know Chuck Pagano is high on Deion Bush. I just can't imagine that the plan heading into the season is to have Deion Bush as one of the starting safeties next to Eddie Jackson. And then when you look at the second round picks over the years, James Daniels, Anthony Miller, Adam Shaheen, Cody Whitehair, Eddie Goldman, those are the second round picks over the years under Ryan Pace. So if you correctly identify guys, you can have players that definitely have a major impact on your football team.
I loved seeing that mock draft yesterday. I think it got people kind of juiced up for, well, you know, what's ahead. It's only less than a month now, we think, unless they move the draft back and there's going to be even more mock drafts. But I was surprised to see as many offensive tackles projected in the first round. I was surprised to see, you know, only one tight end and I think only one safety. If that's the case, then I think the Bears, this is the way I think the Bears approach the second round, their two picks that they have. Yes, the best available player, Zach, but it's got to be an offensive player. They've neglected the offense in free agency. If this second tier, you know, if they shop and it comes and goes this period without them adding anybody to their offense, they go into the draft, I think, even more urgency attached to those picks and that side of the football because they have needs on the offensive line. I know Alex Barrs may be a guy that we learn a lot about between now and August, but he's still not a guy that removes the question marks and removes the doubt. Tight end, yes, you have nine tight ends under contract. There's a reason you have nine tight ends under contract because you haven't found one to step forward that you really truly trust to be available when you need him to be available and to be productive. So if Cole Kmet, maybe my favorite player in this draft, falls to the Bears, then they have to really look at that as a need pick. But he might be the best available player, or at least they will tell us that he is. So, yeah, tight end and safety are still need areas, and I think you go into it thinking that. But I'm with you. Deion Bush is probably not going to be the answer if he does start on week one for the Bears at strong safety. It'll be sort of a, you know, he'll take the approach of he can't get you beat, but he's not going to make a lot of plays. Maybe a little bit like Adrian Amos was, but Adrian Amos made a very good living out of being that guy, being more reliable than explosive. But you could get a guy like that later in the rounds. In the second round with those two picks, you've got to think offense and you've got to think best available offensive player.
Hopefully that player is an offensive lineman because that was a big one of many flaws within the offense last year was the protection of the quarterback. And I don't want to hear about Alex Barrs ever again until he actually does something during an NFL game. I know he started a few games last year at the end of the season, and he's from Notre Dame, so we have to pay attention to him. But, I mean, come on. This guy's an undrafted player for a reason. I'm sick of the Alex Barrs conversation. As far as tight end being a need, I think it's a need for the Bears, absolutely. I don't think that they think it's a need anymore. I think that they think they solved it with signing the ghost of Jimmy Graham. That's going to fix the position, and you can get rid of the nine other tight ends they have on the roster. And I think they think they've solved it, which is a problem in and of itself. I think the biggest needs, hopefully the best available players that fall to them in the draft, are either offensive line help or in the secondary, and not just safety. I still think they need cornerback help as well.
If you're Ryan Pace, yes, you hope a tight end falls to you in the first round. Yes, because that is a huge need. You still consider the tight end and the safety an area of need for the Bears. Absolutely. Safety is a need. Tight end, you brought in Jimmy Graham, as Kevin points out, the ghost of Jimmy Graham. The arrow is pointing down on this guy in terms of where he's at in his career. And then you have Trey Burton and all of the health concerns with him. You need to bring in somebody young, somebody that you hopefully get some production out of at the tight end position. And yes, also, as Kevin pointed out, the offensive line, a huge issue. I mean, if you're looking for an excuse in terms of the Mitchell Trubisky apologists out there, that's the most glaring one. He didn't have any protection there with the offensive line. Can Pace afford to get the best player available, though? Yeah, I agree with you, David. As long as it's an offensive player, that is the phase of football that needs the most help with the Bears.
It's got to be an offensive player in the first two picks of this draft, unless somehow there's some unbelievable cornerback, really, really good. And I don't want to hear about the box safety. I think it's too early to get the box safety with the second pick in the second round that they've got going on. And Kevin, I understand where you're going with the Alex Barrs. You're sick of hearing about it, but maybe this is why the Bears haven't done anything in the offseason, because they believe Alex Barrs can play at the next level. He can at the very least be the swing tackle, and they're comfortable. Maybe there's going to be an open competition up at Hallis Hall in July or August, hopefully July, when they start training camp, and he's actually going to get a shot at starting at one of the tackle positions. I'm with David. Kmet is the guy. I love this guy. And I know Biggs was like, if it was a better year for tight end class and he didn't go to Notre Dame, nobody'd be looking at him, or he'd be a third or a fourth rounder.
Correct.
He just screams Bears, Matt Nagy fits in this system. I'd even be willing if Ryan Pace gave up the other second round pick, move all the way up to the top of the second round and make sure you get that guy. I really like this guy. The guys they brought in, Jimmy Graham, first of all, most people think he's a laughing stock. And number two, it's going to be a very short period of time, so you're going to be looking again. This guy could solve your problem at that position for 8 to 10 years. So do the right thing. Go get Cole Kmet.
He could be a tight end from Kansas State with a junior college transfer from California, and he would still be a prospect that jumped off the tape.
I think so. I totally think so. I think the people that are anti-Cole Kmet are the people that are in the anti-Notre Dame crowd. So Cole is feeling that because it's not anything anti-Cole Kmet. It's just an anti-Notre Dame thing.
Poor Fighting Irish, always persecuted. No great players ever get drafted out of there, right? They're just such a rough time for them.
That's a great question.
Mavericks.
Don't make me come back to work, Kevin.
I hope you don't. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban told WFAA that hopefully by the middle of May, we're starting to get back to normal and the NBA is playing games. Did Cuban's comments change your thinking about what's ahead for the NBA or the NHL? Do you think the absence of the Summer Olympics will compel NBC to push its league partner, the NHL, to complete its season and crown a Stanley Cup champion?
I think Mark Cuban's an optimistic guy. I think that you have to keep that in mind, and he's probably expressed the best case scenario. You know, he's probably overly optimistic at this point, but I don't want to be overly pessimistic either. I think that it's difficult to avoid projections and predictions that are either, you know, Pollyanna-ish or pessimistic and kind of doomsday scenarios of canceling seasons and moving on, because I think that the unknown is what makes people most afraid. So I think he's probably talking to people about that is his hope, and let's hope that he's right. But I don't know what the safest route is yet, because I don't think anybody does. We're going to hear later today about Major League Baseball talking about concessions that they may want to make from the Players Association. I even read somewhere where players are talking about playing two doubleheaders in a week to try to get in as many games as possible. I do think an opportunity exists for the NHL. The NHL, with NBC now having programming that they need to fill with the void the Olympics creates, they could go into August. The ice wouldn't be great. It wouldn't matter, because you'd want games, you want live action, you want something to follow, and you want a champion. So it's an opportunity here, but you're going to hear a lot of projections. I think you just have to take each one for what they're worth and consider the source.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that the television companies are going to dictate when sports come back. It's going to be the medical experts, and we just don't know. You know, speaking of the NBA, I'm sure you guys have had an opportunity to see that Instagram video that Karl Anthony Towns, the Minnesota center, put out talking about just the heartbreaking story about how his mom has the coronavirus and she's in a coma. And you watch something like that, and you hear all the experts from the medical fields tell you and the science fields tell you that, you know, the worst of this is yet to come. And, you know, it's going to be weeks, not days, weeks, maybe months. I just don't see how you can wrap your mind against professional sports, specifically the NBA, starting in the middle of May as we sit here today.
Yeah, Zach, I agree with you. I think, you know, Mark Cuban, you can call it optimism, you can call it anything you want, but I think it's a little maybe irresponsible or just getting ahead of ourselves to try to project, you know, when things are going to be back to normal and when the leagues are going to start back up again and when businesses are going to start back up again. I mean, we just need to listen to, yes, like you said, doctors and people with the World Health Organization and actual professionals, and not Mark Cuban and not the guy from The Apprentice. I think that's just a lot of irresponsibility going on in many different facets. As far as the Olympics being canceled and NBC pushing the NHL to complete its season, and I think I think NBC could probably get better ratings running reruns of like American Ninja Warrior than the Stanley Cup Final would actually generate anyway. So I don't think.
I think that's an ignorant comment. That is a really ignorant comment.
Not for me. No.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban's comments didn't change my thinking about when this thing is, when we're going to see sports again. Look, this is being measured in increments of days at a time. So all we can trust is the word of the medical professionals and nobody else right now. And we're going to take it at, what, like a couple weeks at a time, it looks like, and see where we're at. So there's no, this is the great unknown right now as to where we're going to see, when we're going to see sports. NBC is not going to need to compel the NHL. The NHL, the NBA, these two leagues that have pretty much their regular season in the books and are just looking to get the postseason in, they're going to do anything they can, I believe, to get it in because they, their seasons are complete, basically. So it's NBC is not going to have to compel them.
No, I don't think NBC will have to compel them. I understand NBC's position. They'd rather put the NHL on than running infomercials about knives or dehydrating beef jerky or something like that, which I've seen on Saturdays and Sundays already as we're in this odd time that we're in. I don't want to get political here, but wouldn't it be great if on Easter Sunday we had a triple header of NHL action on NBC like we do on Christmas with the NBA? Get every player tested, get the refs tested, get the two camera guys tested, the two broadcasters tested, and play in an absolutely empty arena and put one or two cameras tops in there and have these guys skate. And do it. The NHL has only had two guys test for coronavirus, and both guys were in Ottawa. Okay, so why not? Why not get this going? You don't absolutely, you do not have fans, you don't have concessions, none of that kind of stuff. You limit it to bare essential people that play the game and are impacting in the game. It'd be great television. We could all use it. I don't need to watch American Ninja Warrior. I've never, it's okay if it's on, I'll watch it, but that's I want NHL, I want NBA, I want MLB, I want NFL, I want NFL draft. I want all of it. Middle of May, apps, hopefully, all, again, sound like a Star Wars movie. All we have right now is hope. And if you don't have hope, then you really don't have anything. So middle of May, great. Easter Sunday, bring it on, NHL, on NBC. Love to watch it all day.
You know, that's a good question.
In one quick crazy afternoon news cycle, a story out of South Carolina reported the NCAA had contacted Clemson's compliance department to inform the school quarterback Trevor Lawrence couldn't have a GoFundMe page to benefit those affected by coronavirus. The NCAA later issued a statement contradicting the story. What do you think really happened? And if you were Lawrence, given the uncertainty of next season, how tempted would you be to sit out altogether and start preparing for the 2021 NFL draft?
All right, let's go through the layers here. Real quick, I think Clemson's compliance department, the job there is to be overly cautious. So you stop things first, ask questions later, because the last thing you want is to have a potential NCAA violation occur and lose the best quarterback in college football to something that could easily have been prevented. So they stop it first, check with the NCAA. NCAA gave its okay, problem resolved. And as for whether or not Lawrence should sit out next season, that's the best team he's likely going to play on for a very, very long time, just like Joe Burrow at LSU last season. So don't give up that opportunity.
You know, Zach, good for you pointing out the context of yesterday's story, because I got a little carried away as well. First, when you saw the reports, it was like, this is as tone deaf of a response from the NCAA as you could imagine. And then we would find out after there was a little bit of a pushback on social media that it was the compliance department that acted in a way that tried to get in front of this. And then the NCAA had to issue the statement. A couple of things. Number one, real quick. Yeah, this underscores to me, when you have a compliance department that afraid of violating the rules, that there are too many rules. And when you have something as archaic as this one, where players can't use the likeness, and that was why they were afraid that he was violating, they can't use their own likeness to benefit, then I think that obviously this is just the latest example of the bureaucracy, and it's way too complicated, and the NCAA has kind of overstepped. As far as skipping next year, I could understand it. It would be a shame for college football, but I think at this point in time, given the uncertainty of everything in our lives, that if Trevor Lawrence were to stay out of Clemson and to prepare for the 2021 draft, I'd get it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, and I would be disappointed by it, but I would understand it.
I'm not going to, you know, put too much flack on Clemson or the school's compliance department. They're just, you know, trying to, like you said, be safe about this and follow the edict that were handed down from the NCAA, and that's the real root issue here is the NCAA and all of the archaic, horrible rules and regulations they have in place, you know, to kind of shut down just a nice gesture from Trevor Lawrence here and his girlfriend that they were trying to, you know, raise some money here. And it's just the NCAA is just its own disastrous thing anyway. If I was Trevor Lawrence, I would have probably sat out or stopped playing football for free after my freshman year, because why risk injury playing for free when you could go play professionally somewhere else, or just sit out? You'll be the number one pick in the draft when you were eligible anyway. So yeah, I would have absolutely already been sitting out if I were Trevor Lawrence, and he should sit out next year. Don't play football for free. You could get your leg or your neck broken on any single play. Just relax. You're going to be the number one pick one day eventually. Bide your time.
Well, this was Clemson definitely jumping the gun here, and that's all there is to it. And I agree with the idea that, you know, this highlights that, you know, the NCAA should relax its rules, particularly when it comes to these athletes trying to, you know, do charitable work. That's just ridiculous. In terms of Trevor Lawrence sitting out, go ahead and play, man. Go ahead and play before you enter the draft.
The compliance department was just doing their job. Now, it's not a job that I cheerlead for, but that's their job. The problem is, if you let Trevor Lawrence do this, who's the next person who's got a really good, heartfelt story that wants to raise money for a charity that's affected his or her parents or grandparents or sisters or cousins or nieces or nephews? It just never would stop. Second of all, under the current circumstances, if you are fortunate enough to have the means to help with cash, you shouldn't need Trevor Lawrence or Trevor Lawrence's girlfriend to get you to reach into your pocket and go to PayPal or however this is done. You should just be doing it. It shouldn't be, oh, well, now Trevor Lawrence is on board. Okay, well, now I've got $25. If Trevor Lawrence wasn't on board, nope, I'm keeping that $25 for myself. That doesn't make any sense to me either. And as far as not playing, no, you gotta play. I don't want to sitting out. Well, why would he sit out? That doesn't make any.
Why would he get? Because he would get injured potentially. Why would you play for free?
He's not playing for free, Kevin. He's not. It's 5:57.
He's getting a free education.
I can explain it to you later.
It's a great question.
Let your minds wander during these idle times. It's October, and your favorite Chicago baseball team is down one run in a decisive playoff game in the ninth inning with two outs and runners on second and third. What hitter on the White Sox and the Cubs would you want at the plate at that clutch moment? And conversely, if your team was leading, which pitcher for each team would you want on the mound?
Oh, yeah, baseball. Remember baseball? October baseball, back when we were thinking about what the Sox could need to do to get to the playoffs and if the Cubs could get back. Zach, this is an easy one. I think if you're the Cubs, you want Anthony Rizzo at the plate in the clutch in those situations, two outs, down one, runners on second and third. As far as a pitcher on the mound to kind of prevent it for the Cubs, I don't know who that is. It's certainly not Craig Kimbrel. I would say Rowan Wick, maybe, if I had to pick one right now in the bullpen. Maybe you bring in Yu Darvish for the bullpen. That's for one batter to get that big out. For the White Sox, Yoan Moncada, I think, is probably your most dangerous hitter. That's who I would want there. As far as a pitcher, I don't know that I would go the closer route. I think I might go with Aaron Bummer.
Interesting. You know, the Cubs were 15th with runners in scoring position last season with a .259 average. And I think part of the reason they didn't make the playoffs last season isn't just because we're talking about a playoff game in the ninth inning with two outs. They failed in those situations consistently over the course of the entire season, no matter what inning we were talking about. But the guy who, and Rizzo's the natural pick, it would have been Ben Zobrist back in the day before he called it quits. Javier Baez last year led the Cubs with a .333 batting average with runners in scoring position, 9 home runs, 59 ribbies, and a .693 slugging percentage. And as for the closer, can I pick the Craig Kimbrel that the Cubs thought they were getting, so the Boston version? Because if not, I'm not going Yu Darvish. I'm going with the guys that Joe Maddon used in the World Series, whether it be Kyle Hendricks or John Lester coming out of the pen to relieve what would likely be a Yu Darvish start to begin that crucial game. With the White Sox, I'm going Tim Anderson over Yoan Moncada in terms of with the runners in scoring position. And the White Sox have a closer, so that's not something they have to worry about.
Well, I'm not going to overthink this one too much. I'm just going to go with the best hitter and the best pitcher from each team. That would be, offensively, Yoan Moncada is the best hitter on the White Sox. Chris Bryant is the best hitter on the Cubs, I would select those two guys. I think the Chris Bryant isn't clutch narrative. It's one of the stupidest things in this city, and I know the world in general in this country has become a much dumber place over the last 4 or 5 years, but the Chris Bryant is not clutch narrative is one of the dumber sports-related things I can think of. And pitching-wise, same thing. I'm going to go with the best pitchers, Lucas Giolito, Kyle Hendricks.
Okay, you want your best player at the plate, right? So if you're the Cubs, it's Chris Bryant. But if it's the White Sox, I'm going to go with the batting champ, Timmy Anderson. The Sox, yeah, they have a closer, Colome, and the Cubs pick a name out of a hat. And as long as it's not Craig Kimbrell, I guess I'm okay with it.
Well, for the Cubs, let's start there because they're the team that actually knows what it's like to be in a crucial situation in October. The people on their roster, the majority of them. For me at the plate, it would be Anthony okay. Rizzo. And it would also be Kyle Hendricks. That's something that I'll agree with everybody. Kyle Hendricks would be my Cubs pitcher in that moment. As far as the Sox, because they have no October experience, I'd have to go with Grandal. He's the one guy that's actually been there, kind of sort of done it, didn't look up and regurgitate them for us. From a pitcher standpoint, Lucas Giolito. He might be the best pitcher in Chicago right now. So it would be Lucas Giolito on the mound.
Might be.
Might be. Kyle
that is the 5 of 5. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. You can text us at 67011. Zach Zabin is in for Mike Mulligan this week. We will get the conversation started when we come back. Mullane Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.